Nein, Deutschland.
There's something outside.
What is that?
Radio.
Indeed, it is Monster X Radio presenting On the Shoulders of Giants, talking old-timers with the one, the only, Thomas Steenberg, who is in the studio with me. Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, my dear. I'm doing just fine. This is our 28th episode.
Unbelievable. Do you know, next month it'll be 3 years that we've been doing this show. I can't believe it. It doesn't seem possible.
And it's gone by rather quick, and tonight we're having our first repeat guest.
Yes, I'm excited about that because our guest tonight is somebody that is, I call him the walking encyclopedia of Bigfootery. And somebody that I learn a lot from still to this day. He's full of surprises. But before we bring him in, are you guys having a heat wave I'm hearing up there in Northwest?
It's gone down to 32 Celsius now, but over the last week it's been up around like 45, which is close to 100 in Fahrenheit. It's been brutal.
Yeah, you guys aren't used to that.
No. I mean, no, it's perfectly normal down around your place, and I think in Stephen, I think that's pretty well normal, too. As I recall, both times I was in California, I nearly melted.
I saw that it was like 118 somewhere near Portland, at least the heat index, and I'm like, that's brutal even for us here in North Carolina, but, you know, a lot of times we're in the 90s, pushing 100 several days in a row. You're lucky if you get below 85 at night in July and August. So I feel your pain, y'all.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah,
and it's got to be brutal for guys who aren't used to it. So, but hopefully it will ease up here real soon, it looks like. So, and you're lucky because I've got this until freaking the beginning of September. So,
Roger that. Well, let's get going. Let's get Angel Eyes on.
Get Angel Eyes. I mean, we have a special guest, and his name is, and I'm going to say it, and if I get it wrong, he's going to kill me, is Stephen Struford. Right, Stephen?
Well, I won't kill you. It's Struford, actually, like, you know, Deutsch, German. That's how you pronounce it. But everybody says Struford. I've given up trying to correct anybody, especially since Bobo made it immortal on Finding Bigfoot. You know, make that go away.
Right. Well, Stephen, I tell you what, you were here a guest with us back in October 2018 on our fourth show. And you are our first repeat guest, so we really appreciate you taking the time to come back on the show. And I'm just stoked for this. And, you know, first of all, how are you over in California? Is Bigfoot been found yet over there?
No. Not by anybody sane and normal. I haven't heard any word. There's a few wackadoodles out there, you know, who claim that they're being visited every day, you know, but I don't tend to believe those reports without some kind of evidence to back them up.
But yeah, right. You always just take their word for it, don't you, Stephen?
No, I've got this big plastic tub with a plasterized piece of hay that has a footprint shape in the middle of it. The guy just pulled it right out of his farm, you know, up there on the hill, and stuck it in there and let it dry. Brought it to me, and I was like, I don't know what's in there, goat shit and, you know, stuff like that, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this evidence that's just sitting there in the back porch.
Well, when did this happen?
Well, that was like a year ago.
Oh, you still have it there.
You know, he claims Bigfoot coming through his, he's out there in the mountains, you know, in the pot grower land, and I don't think he's growing pot, but he's a farmer now. You know, he's got goats and chickens and about 50 feral cats and apparently UFOs, Bigfoot, little people, and all kinds of other things.
Sounds like the Iwari Forest.
Yeah, I mean, how does one person attract so many things? You know,
I don't know.
When I'm sitting out in my front yard, all I ever hear is, you know, raccoons and skunks and bears.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's, you know, both you and Thomas have been in this Bigfoot scene for years and years and years now. I'm a newcomer. You know, I'm going on 7 years of actually being involved in research investigating to any certain degree of importance. So I can't imagine what it must be like for you two who have been through this for years and years and the same old crazy stuff. It keeps getting crazier and crazier, and yet people swear by God Bigfoot exists, but then on one side of the fence you have all this crazy woo-woo stuff, and of course the Hendon said it best, inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah,
I don't see that this will ever change.
Renee Thomas will confirm this probably with a funny quote, but, you know, Renee always said, like, if someone claimed more than one Bigfoot sighting, you could pretty much safely not trust them very much, especially if they had repeat offenses, you know, ongoing. Right, Thomas?
I totally agree. Inmates running the asylum is the best way to describe the Sasquatch field today.
Yeah. I think these days it's almost a matter of if you're really honest about it, you're not going to have a lot of claims. You know, your people who make those claims are the most dishonest people, I think. Big fat liars, most of them. And a lot of them are just delusional, you know, thinking that Bigfoot is everywhere and everything when really, you know, it's not. But the honest people like John Green and Renee and Peter Byrne even, you know, didn't have all these sightings, didn't have but a few tracks they found with a whole lifetime of looking. So how do you explain suddenly some dude like Tom Cantrell comes along and Bigfoot's with him everywhere he goes? You know, how does that happen?
Yeah, and where are the pictures in the video? I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying, as a field investigator, it's always nice to have some type of proof to back up what you're saying, i.e. photos and video. I mean, if they're always with you, and you're carrying a mobile phone that has recording capabilities, where's the proof?
Yeah, it's hard to understand that, but, you know, you get these people like Matthew Johnson, and he claims that Zorth is, you know, his spiritual guru from another planet, is there with him in his house, you know.
Oh, my God.
Floating around in his house in an orb form. You know, living in the trees out in his freaking yard. And yet, when he posts pictures of this supposed Zorth character, they're always blurry. They're always just blob splotches. Yeah, I don't get this. Like, if you're standing there giving a talk at a conference and Bigfoot is supposedly right next to you but invisible, why don't you just make Bigfoot get, you know, uncloaked? You know, just for once on camera, you know, a Bigfoot actually there. You know, a real living creature, not some invisible thing, you know, that is only existing in your mind.
Yeah.
And as Rennie once said, I don't care about Sasquatch in your goddamn mind. I'm interested in Sasquatch out there in the bush.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
Lord,
Lapsus,
you sound like scary.
It's like he's had 529 Bigfoot encounters or sexual encounters and never got laid.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, it's got to be a sad, sorry existence, though, really. And all joking aside, that's really sad and sorry that you are living in that type of fantasy world. I mean,
well, they've always been there, Julie, even from the beginning. But like I said, ever since the internet, great tool that it is, it's a soapbox for every snake oil salesman out there. And there are a lot of people out there who call themselves researchers, who are basically, they just like the endless merry-go-round, non-ending merry-go-round, and the Sasquatch kind of fills some empty void in their lives. They just enjoy going around pretending to be Mulder and Scully. So.
True.
Yeah.
Well, people want magic in their lives. You know, look at all the other things that people believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't even get into their whole religion thing. But, I mean, you know, that at least that admits it's a matter of faith. Like, these are things that we don't know the answers to. Like, why are we here? You know, why? What's after death or whatever? But, I mean, that if you've got something that's pure faith, that's okay. Just leave it there. Have some faith in it if you want. But, I mean, all these other things, they're making actual claims of existence here and now in the real world. And it's not just Bigfoot. It's frickin' Mothman and, you know, Dogman and everything else. Flying humanoids over Chicago or whatever. Ridiculous thing, you know. Just to have fodder for your stupid blog or your dumb radio show, you know, not yours. I mean, at least Monster X is focused on...
Thank you for clarifying that.
It's focused on one thing, more or less, Bigfoot, and it focuses on serious research, you know. It just doesn't have any, like, new up-and-coming doofus on it that is going to, you know, be the next dude showing up at a conference or whatever. Or,
right.
You know, like the She-Squatchers. I mean, I don't know what they've ever done. But, I mean, I just saw their video, and they're like, going to every Bigfoot conference in the continent. And the only thing I can see they ever did was they got a thermal of nothing that they were 30 feet away from in a parking lot that they had remote viewed psychically and thought there was a Sasquatch there. And then all you see is a blurry white form that they could have just walked right up to. And, you know, the settings on their camera are hot, dark. So actually it's a glowing cold spot, not a glowing hot spot. So whatever the heck it is, it's not a Bigfoot. But, you know, they're still out there saying, we got that thermal video of a Bigfoot in Tennessee or whatever. Well, no, you didn't. You got nothing. You got nothing, and you should just admit it and be honest about it. And maybe, you know, next time, try to investigate a little bit more assiduously. Like, you know, if you're going to be doing hundreds of YouTube shows, why not put in that little effort and walk 30 feet forward? You know, put yourself on the line and see what that blob is. It's not going to kill you, probably. You know, it's probably nothing anyway. So, you know, if you're an investigator, walk the extra 30 feet. I mean, right?
Well, yeah, and I think also another problem involved in all of that are the people promoting some of these shows, these conferences or whatever. I don't know what type of what they hold to be evidence. You know what I mean? It's like, what are they? How are they responsible for some of this? Because why are they not holding people to a higher standard?
It's money. I mean, ask everybody who's ever run an organization. I mean, except for honest ones like Bluff Creek Project, you know? I mean, look at the BFRO. I mean, what do? They're out there selling expeditions and selling their name and trying to get their website to be the number one Bigfoot resource. And every time, just like Tom Biscardi told me, every time that Bigfoot gets in the news, my stock value goes up. You know?
Uh-huh.
And Biscardi actually has that. He has that stock market listing for his Bigfoot company. It's, I think, the only publicly traded Bigfoot company. it's a penny stock, though, of course, you know. But, you know,
right.
I mean, money making just... If he's got the feeling that something is good, he'll run with it and he'll promote it and he'll get it in the news. And of course, is it really good? I mean, no, like those moose tracks, you know, I mean, he didn't even go and investigate it. One guy, that Bigfoot Okanagan guy who lived up there went and looked, and, you know, they found out within an hour that it was moose tracks.
Well, which one
you
are you talking about?
The one that was in the news recently, this last, you know, winter, whatever, there were some tracks found in the snow, and it looked like bipedal strides, you know. But as we all know, there are a lot of animals that can look like they're leaving bipedal tracks, like rabbits, you know.
Yeah, rabbits can leave some real funky tracks when they're in a hurry.
Julie, what he's referring to is the investigation by Leon Thompson, a researcher for Okanagan Bigfoot up here in British Columbia. It was a case that just happened winter 2020 in December, where a bunch of visitors to the area who have never been here, I think one guy was from Germany and the other two were visitors from someplace else, and they were driving. They caught a glimpse of something. They were driving by 80 kilometers an hour or something, heading straight away from them, that they didn't know what they were looking at. So, and the BFRO said this is the best Sasquatch encounter of the year and the best set of tracks, Moneymaker said, of the year. And it looked like bipedal tracks. But Leon did the proper investigation and backup investigation, dug down, and in the bottom of these tracks, he found the hoof marks of a moose. They said they probably saw the back end of a moose heading directly away from them, and they only saw it for a few seconds. All they saw was something big and large, dark covered, heading away from them. And his follow-up investigation proved beyond a doubt, at least in my mind, that what it was encountered was actually a moose, and not a Sasquatch. That is proper investigation and research.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And if you If you can rule out Bigfoot, then it's probably not a Bigfoot encounter, and however much it might seem like that. And, you know, on the flip side, you want to find out, you know, if you can't rule out Bigfoot, maybe it is a Bigfoot encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do the investigation, you don't have a way to find out either way. You know, you have to be a skeptical, inquisitive person to find out the truth. And, you know, if you claim like there are 10,000 Bigfoot sightings, Class A Bigfoot sightings. Well, how many are really Class A? You know, how many of them were even investigated to find any corroboration whatsoever? You know, maybe 1 + 1 + 1 adds up to 10,000, and not a single one of them was real. You know, and if you don't try to investigate it, you're never going to find out one way or the other.
Absolutely, and a lot of people, they really don't. I mean, a researcher has to be somebody who's investigating an answer to a mystery. He's not supposed to be a religious leader trying to push a faith.
That's right, and stick to the facts.
And never deviate from the facts. I heard that before, yeah.
Some guy said that.
I got that T-shirt with Thomas's face on it that says, stick to the facts, only the facts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, even if people don't know who he is. So he's a bad guy, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. The message is good.
Oh, yeah. There's so many newcomers.
That's a good point, too, because that's how you know a true investigator who is in it for the right reasons is because you may not know exactly who their name is because they're not out there looking for the attention. They're not out there making 1,000 YouTube things, and they're not out there – you know what I mean? It's like the folks who fly under the radar to me are the most fascinating.
Yeah, you know, might never hear their name ever. There's always these legendary researchers that supposedly exist, you know, hidden away like the hermits of the Siskiyous or something, who have great evidence and never show anybody, who are having interactions on a regular basis. I mean, maybe it's true, but I mean, I think even if you don't have these claims, like, you can be a great researcher and just do your observations.
Yeah, you don't need people that don't look for the
right?
attention of the social media. I guess that's what I'm saying. And social media, it has blown people's heads up, you know. How many hits can I get with this?
Well,
yeah.
A lot of it is people who are just, they want their 15 minutes and they want it now. They're not willing to do years of work and research. Like myself, I know I'm well known in this field, but it took years and years and years to achieve that. And I published books, you know, but a lot of people, they want to be famous right now. And they don't want to do the work. And they don't want to do the work. Yeah.
When I got into the whole Bigfoot thing in around 2000, you know, I just picked it up again after being into it when I was a kid and suddenly got really curious about it. So I read all the books again. You know, I read everything new that I could find. And I spent about, I don't know what, 7 or so years doing that before I started writing or expressing my opinion publicly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I owed the field of study that much to at least be accountable to the prior, you know, materials and the resources and all of the claims out there. And, you know, so I'm not saying I'm some kind of hero for doing that, but it's just what I felt I had to do before I could go and really express my opinions. By the time I started expressing my opinions, you know, I felt, you know, pretty well seasoned by that. And I'd already been talking privately with a lot of people, the old timer types, you know, getting to know them secretly before Facebook took off, where suddenly all the Bigfoot people were in your face, you know, every day. You couldn't make it go away after 2010.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but a guy like Tom Steinberg, you know, you had to really respect that determination to keep at it for so long and to maintain a critical reserve for so long, maybe never having seen one or at best finding a few pieces of evidence here and there or hearing a bunch of good stories. You know, you had to respect that. And I find a lot less respect for some dude who appears out of nowhere and he's suddenly got a radio show and he's babbling this and that and talking crap to people that I respect and, you know, not showing them enough respect to really, you know, get educated. It's like, you know, you're having a discussion with a bunch of PhDs sitting around and then some whippersnapper comes out of junior high school And you know, he's trying to tell you that he knows better than you do.
Right.
Well, maybe this is some child prodigy, like, you know, little Mozart or something, but I doubt it. You know, probably it's just the attitude, you know, and like Bigfoot is one subject that you can really just cop an attitude and no one can really contradict you because there's no proof either way for any of it. So, I mean, you can just say whatever you want. Bigfoot comes to me in my mind and speaks to me in English. It's like, all right, whatever, you know.
Inmates running the
asylum.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on out in the world that I'm not aware of and that I certainly don't have the answers for, but if someone's going to go on social media and say this to be a fact, then I expect them to be able to show proof of that fact. Otherwise, it's just hogwash.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
They don't even have to show proof. Just show some evidence that makes you think the way you think.
Well, at least that, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just,
Well, they think that because they've gone outdoors, you know, they've been, quote-unquote, out in the field. I mean,
and of course,
they put boots on the ground.
It's a tabloid mentality of the general public. These wacky stories are the sexy stories, so that's what people want to see. They don't want to hear about Thomas Stever, who spent 3 days out checking along riverbanks and never found anything. They want to hear about
that's boring, Thomas. Yeah, for heaven's sake,
Sasquatch in his backyard 3 times a night. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or like this recent hogwash with Igor Burtsev losing his mind in public in the last 5 years or so. Igor Burtsev's been losing his mind in public for the last 5 to 10 years. But, I mean, the last thing he did was this, what state was that thing in again?
I can't remember, but basically he claimed he got a phone call from a Sasquatch.
Yeah, he's standing there in front of this conference, and then he gets on the phone from his friend in Russia, and the guy puts him on the line with this Bigfoot named Greg. I mean, I think it's Greg.
Wow.
Or was it Gary? Bigfoot is named Greg, and he speaks in Russian or whatever so that Igor can understand him and have a conversation back and forth. on the phone, live, at a Bigfoot conference.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's even more outrageous than Tom Cantrell saying that the Bigfoot was standing next to him, invisible. You know, I mean,
God knows.
At least when he says that Bigfoot's invisible, you can just write him off as an idiot. But, you know, to say Bigfoot's on the phone with you, I mean,
song in there somewhere, man.
That's a new one. I don't know. It's clever. You have to admit, it's one of the silliest things I've ever heard.
Wow.
It was a new attention grabber, that's for sure.
Damn.
And then if you go look at his YouTube page, which is in Russian, so it's, if you don't know the Russian language, it's pretty hard to find it. But he's got pictures, video on there of this Greg, you know, running around on the edge of some farm and, like, you know, throwing big logs into the doorway of a cabin and out there banging on the walls and stuff. There's some pretty elaborate hoaxy stuff going on. But, I mean, Burtsev is supposed to be an academic, a scholar, a scientist. I mean, he claims to have a PhD, but he actually doesn't. And
well, yeah, I was
going to
say, I've heard a lot of people call him doctor, but I've never been clear on that. Does he have a PhD in something?
What he has is what's called the candidate degree. It's kind of like what we would say all but dissertation. You know, like basically it's like a master's degree, and just saying you, if you finish it up, you have a PhD.
Okay.
Like, you know, what we do in our schools over here, the master's degree is pretty much like an honorarium along the way. And then you finish
it all up.
And you tie up your loose ends and you get a PhD. But, I mean, he wasn't even a scientist. He's not an anthropologist. He's a historian. His degree was in the humanities.
Okay.
You know, history. And maybe he studied the history of science. I'm not really sure. I've never found anything from him as a dissertation, although he claims to have written something. It's just really bizarre. But, you know, I mean, he used to be respected. Like he was, you know, connected to Bayanov and Korchnev and these other old-time Russians who went way back to the old days of studying the abominable snowman and Yeti and Almasty and all that. You know, that was a real credible branch of the hairy hominoid studies in the world, you know. But now he's the guy who goes from Janice Carter to, you know, the Lapsuritis conference, and then he gets on the phone with Bigfoot in Indiana or whatever it is at Harriet and Phoebe's conference, and then he goes to Michigan. He hangs out with that blueberry bagel lady who feeds Bigfoot every Thanksgiving with a big turkey dinner.
I'm not living right, y'all, because, I mean, maybe I should start leaving out some chocolate chip cookies or something.
Well, you've got those sound vocals recorded at your place, right?
Yeah, but they're not anything definite. I mean, I can't say that those vocals came from a Sasquatch. They're just unusual and suspect and have been analyzed. And, you know, some of them do not match to known species in my area. But I did not see what made those sounds, so I cannot say, you know, what they are or
everybody else would probably just claim outright that they had a Bigfoot recording and they had a Bigfoot encounter.
Any of my audio is a Bigfoot. What I say is unusual.
Bigfoot encounter.
You know, it can be really unnerving to hear it out there at the fire pit alone in the middle of the night. And, you know, most people who have heard me talk on the show before, where I live is actually right outside the Uwari Forest, North Carolina, and it has the most reported, documented sightings of any place in the state. And yes, there is a lot of weird stuff that happens around here and a lot of weird vocalizations, but until I see a Sasquatch doing it, I cannot say that I have recorded Sasquatch audio. I have suspicious usual things.
I hear they like Zagnut bars out there.
Yeah, Mike Green has that
the squeaky thermal, that's in your area, right?
That's actually 6 miles from my doorstep. Yep.
There you go. That was a good one. I actually like that. That's one of my actual maybe videos, you know.
Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what.
It could be.
Yeah, I've been right there where he recorded that. And I'll tell you, if you're standing there and you look down the hillside, where the suspect crawled up, and it was April, and I'll tell you what, in North Carolina in the spring, I don't know anybody that's going to crawl on their belly up a hillside in pitch black dark in the Uwari Forest, because we have all kinds of weird stuff out there that'll eat ya.
Gobo did it.
Yeah, I'd say people who want to make up claim it's a Sasquatch, they'll do it.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
I just I don't know anybody that would risk doing that just to make a hoax of a Bigfoot climbing up a hillside. I just don't know anybody. I mean, I could be wrong,
yeah,
but just to perpetrate a hoax like that, knowing that there's you know, several different kinds of venomous snakes, spiders. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I've been there. I've seen where it was recorded,
was,
and I'm telling it. What's that, Stephen?
He was out there by himself so much of the time. I don't think anybody knew he was out there researching. I mean, back at that time, he was one of those people that you never heard about. You know, he was quietly doing the research, dedicated, watching that area, and, you know, that's why he set that camera up, and then he just left it there. So,
he,
I mean,
he
I've never heard
out
any
of the park, and he came back a couple hours later, and... But that particular area now where he was researching, he actually, David Pardue, who is a guy here in North Carolina that's been investigating for a long time, I'm a part of his research team, and David's the one that told him to go there and investigate, because they'd had sightings over in that area before, and, you know, David's not one that's going to, he's another one that's want to go along to social media and go, oh, my God, look at this, look at that, or, oh, my God, this happened or that happened. It's all low-key. You know, he told Mike, hey, you want to try to record something, here's a good place to try. You know, that goes on a lot over there. There's several people who investigate over there that they're just trying to get some evidence. They're not, they don't care about, you know, if they're on TV or not.
Yeah, well, the circumstances around that one make it promising.
Yeah, I've never heard any reason to
question
Michael Green, unless you're on his enemies list. You know, in his book, he told the truth about a lot of things that people didn't want told. You know, and it makes certain characters in the Bigfoot world look really badly. I mean, assuming it's all true, I've been told that some of the things in there are not accurate, but that was just regarding Justin Smea. And as far as I'm concerned, everything involving Justin Smea is worthless and should just be thrown out. But, I mean, I have friends who've investigated that situation and found a lot of credible possibilities there, especially once Bart Coutinho got involved and got his own thermal video up there in the Sierra Nevada. Because you remember that story that Justin Smea, he was this Bigfoot killer. And it seems to me after all this time that it was really just a big lie.
I think the DNA results pointed to Black Bear basically wrote that one off.
Yeah. And,
isn't
you know,
that
contradicted Melba Ketchum's result, which was she claimed it was hybrid human, a Bigfoot. And, you know, Bart Coutinho and what's that other guy's name? Oh, but anyway, the two of them went and added the same sample from Smeha's freezer, you know, from which the Ketchum piece was cut. They sent it to two different labs, and both of them came back as Black Bear. And if you look at the hair, it looks like Black Bear. It doesn't look like a Sasquatch. And, you know, that place is well known for hunting and poaching, and Smea was one of those hunting, poaching guys up there. How he came up with this Bigfoot story, it must have just been a lark, you know. He told this story on a taxidermy website, and it got out of control. And once Derek Randalls found out about it, and then the word got out, and everybody was suddenly going there, worshiping at his bloody feet, you know, with his big doll tail. But, I mean, Michael Green wrote the book about that and told the dark side of the whole Ketchum study. Of the whole Sierra Kills events and a lot of other things like the Don Young guy up in Wisconsin and the whole kind of Wally Hursom funding the BFRO scandal with all of the thousands of dollars spent on thermal and night vision devices that all sort of mysteriously got lost along the way. And Moneymaker, with his big salary that he got from it, you know, keeping Wally pumped up with Bigfoot sighting reports just to keep him excited so he'd keep, you know, dumping money into the thing. And, you know, eventually he dropped Moneymaker and took up Randall's and funded the Olympic Project, which is, you know, one of the only respectable research groups out there, I think, that's really doing a good, serious investigation. But, you know, somehow he got led astray once again to the Ketchum study and put in like $500,000 to that.
A lot of which was
spent on Melba Ketchum getting fashion makeovers and traveling to Europe on vacation.
Wow.
She went shopping.
Again,
with
I'm not living
Williams,
right.
The habituator lady.
Didn't Dr. Brian, what is it, Brian Sykes, is it, that did the test on that stuff, on his DNA?
Yeah, what about Brian Sykes?
Yeah, there was a TV show where he tested that DNA as well, and it came back as black bear.
Yeah, he mentioned the black bear result, but what is shown on that TV show is the guys met up with Sykes when he was here in the U.S., and they brought the bloody boots of Smeha. Sykes took a little sample off of the leather of the boot, and, you know, when he got it back to the lab, it didn't produce any viable DNA because it was degraded.
The late Brian Sykes, we lost him a few years ago.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually met him. He was here in my store. It was great. One of the highlights, really. Came, sat here, and talked for like an hour. Went and had lunch with him. Yeah. It was quite an honor. But, you know, he wouldn't talk as much about Melba Ketchum as I was hoping he would. You know, he had this sort of scientific reserve, like, you could tell he could talk about it for hours, how long that whole study was, but he basically, you know, demurred on that one.
When Melba Ketchum first came out with her study, and by the way, buying your own magazine and publishing your own stuff does not qualify as peer review. I said at the time, and I was proven right, the only thing that's going to come out of this is she's going to be a guest on Coast to Coast Radio with George Norrie once or twice a year, and that's about it.
That's actually where it all started, was 2008. She appeared on Coast to Coast with David Politis. And, you know, Politis had written these books, and he was talking about wanting to do DNA studies on some of the samples that he got here in the Hoopa area. And some of those were great Bigfoot reports and viable samples, possible samples, you know. But he had heard about Ketchum because Ketchum had done DNA testing for Josh Gates and then for Tom Biscardi. And she was, you know, on record as the lab tech, so-called, who would do these kind of studies. And so, you know, it wasn't too long after that we started hearing the weird theories from her. You know, for one, her theory was that, just like Politis, that Bigfoot was literally a human being, just a hairy form of Homo sapiens, you know. And then later we started hearing more bizarre things, like that Bigfoot was actually one of the Nephilim, that, you know, the Nephilim story from the Bible, where the fallen angels came down and mated with human women. And lo and behold, this is exactly what's in her DNA study paper. you know, that somehow Bigfoot, some species related to the fallen angel Nephilim, had mated with human women and created this hybrid Nephilim creature, Bigfoot. And it all happened, what, like 15,000 years ago? Like recent history? It's just all too strange to even consider, let alone to call it science, you know.
The most interesting thing to me was at the end they had that press conference in Texas, and they had maybe five reporters there, and while they're talking at the table, the cleaning guy is trying to put all the chairs back there unoccupied.
Oh my God, you're kidding me.
So it kind of that was its death throes.
Yeah, that was just a huge embarrassment.
Yeah.
After talking about it for 5 years, and I'm sure you guys remember, it was insanely tense every day. You know, when's it going to come out? What is the result? And there were all these secret shenanigans going on and leaks and spies and, oh, it was just so dramatic. I mean, the Bigfoot world has not produced anything that dramatic in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were involved in it, the thick of it. Like that guy who wrote the Over the Line Smokey blog, exposing everything about the bad science of the Ketchum study.
Mm-hmm.
He was in contact with us, and he was secretly, you know, passing information to me and the coalition group, and you know, it would get leaked out to people like Robert Lindsay and Sean Evidence. Remember them?
Yeah.
But it was 24/7. That story went on thick and heavy for 5 whole years, and all it could produce was a terrible debacle of a news conference with more presenters on the panel than journalists. And also some really terrible video from the Erickson Project, you know, like the breathing shag rug carpet on the ground that was supposed to be Bigfoot.
Chewbacca mask, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this related video, it was standing up and it had a Chewbacca face on it. Bill Munns found
they
that.
They called it Matilda, yeah.
Matilda. But she was supposedly sleeping on the ground, and the video camera is right there, right next to it. And you don't even get video of its feet or its head. It's just you see the back and the chest area, and it's moving up and down, slowly breathing. And that's it. Like, where's the rest of the video? Come on, you guys.
Right.
If you're Bigfoot investigators and you're literally 5 feet away from it,
mm-hmm.
come on. Oh, what are you going to tell me? You're afraid to move because it might wake up? Well, like, what are you doing there in the first place? How did you get that close to it if you're so afraid of it?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's hope it does wake up. That way you can get some really good footage.
Well, apparently it did when more footage was eventually released, and that's when we found out it's a Chewbacca mask.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently it all goes back to those homeowners who were just hoaxing and, you know, going way back to the pancakes video and everything else
mm-hmm.
there in Kentucky. And, you know, luring in the BFRO and then Moneymaker getting a hold of the story and promoting it big, and you know, eventually sold the pancakes video for $10,000 to Adrian Erickson, and then Erickson came in and bought the property or whatever. And you know, I don't know how those people continued to hoax him. And you know, they sold the property and moved down the road, not very far away, and suddenly all the Bigfoot activity was down there at the new house.
Yeah, I remember that. What a quinky
dink. Well, you know, I tried to warn Erickson a number of times about the people he was dealing with, and he just wouldn't listen to me. So, you know, he got involved with, we got one Randy Brisson here up in BC and stuff like that, who I personally caught hoaxing in 2009. And I said, you're making a fool of yourself, and it's just going to blow up in your face. He said, no, you know what you're talking about. 2011 is the year of the Sasquatch. We're going to blow the lid off of this thing. It came down here to the symposium we had that year in honor of John Green, and he just wouldn't listen to a word I said. He said, no, you're just too negative. You're just, and I said, okay. Watch
well,
and learn.
He's a lot like Wally Hursom is just a guy who was very enthusiastic, I think, and some people get the bug, you know, and they, if they're a rich guy, they might just dump $250,000 like Erickson supposedly did on the project. And then you've got researchers on the ground. I don't know why they couldn't get to the bottom of it. They, David Fole and what's her name, Layla Hadchik, you know, were living there researching.
We were getting to the, but for some reason, people just didn't want to listen to it.
Yeah, it's like a
kick in the gut when you suddenly realize, oh my God, he's been taking us for a ride. Let's just go silent.
Yeah, like they don't want to admit that it's fake. You know, it's just like what the Olympic Project had, these Bigfoot nests that they claim, they just say they're Bigfoot because why? Why can't they be, you know, wood rat nests or bear dens or something else? But, you know, they say, well, it's got to be Bigfoot because it's woven together, you know, and it's all made out of huckleberries that have been picked by hand, these little twigs of huckleberries. And, you know, they went and did an eDNA test on this, which is supposed to be cutting-edge science, you know. And Todd Disattel was doing this, and he I don't know if he was supposed to say it publicly, but he did. And it's been very rarely publicized that he confirmed that there was no unusual DNA found. Mm-hmm. And if these are Bigfoot beds, you would suspect that the most prominent DNA left over would be Bigfoot. You know, but what they found was human and bear and deer and wood rat and so forth. And so, I mean, if you don't have anything unusual there, why don't we just say they're not Bigfoot nests, you know? And I think the same thing happened with the Erickson project. Even Moneymakers told me, he said, yeah, there was some hoaxing that went on there, but there were some real things too. So, wait a minute. It's the same people, and they've already hoaxed you with a Chewbacca mask and some weird pancake-eating humanoid out on the porch of this house. Well, where does the hoax end and the real stuff begin? You know?
There you go. Inmates running the asylum. Julie, before we run out of time, let's ask Steve about what's going on with the Bluff Creek project.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we're having a big thing here, as we do every year after the 4th of July. We just invite people to come to Bluff Creek and hang out with us. It's like an expedition. You know, we go in there and we've got team members who retrieve the various data cards that we've had up there since October. And we get to find out what's on our trail cameras set up all throughout that area. We also do, you know, some looking around and studying and some trail maintenance just to keep the access to the film sites still open rather than just completely closed off in a jungle. And we also have this other thing on the side going on. You may recall that Tom Slick and some other people back in the old days went looking for giant salamanders out here in the Trinity Alps to Bluff Creek area.
Yeah, Ken Gearhart's coming, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like a side expedition that Jamie and Ken and some people from Texas and I guess Lauren Coleman's somehow sponsoring this by putting himself on the official flag that we have here in my shop right now. But yeah, they're going to go up and look around at some of these high mountain lakes in the Trinity Alps wilderness area where there's supposedly these ancient relic giant salamanders that have been reported, by people recently, within the modern times, but also in the old native lore that these things supposedly exist in lakes and rivers around here. There is a precedent for a giant salamander in Asia that's like 5 to 6 feet long, and that's more or less what they're saying might exist here. It's going to be like just a 5 days, 6 day kind of thing that is merged with the Bluff Creek camp out. So they're going to go looking. We've got a submarine that goes underwater with a camera, can look, under all the rocks and shelves of the lakes and streams and pools.
Wow.
And yeah, maybe we have a capture net even that somebody sent me the last time somebody saw a giant salamander here, which was, M.K. Davis. But I think what M.K. Davis saw was just a Pacific giant, which are like a foot long. They're kind of like a small hellbender. But, yeah, that's all going on. And, we're hoping this year we might actually get some Bigfoot on our trail cameras, that are right there on the film site running all year round. Hopefully this will be the year, right?
Just like we've been saying for the last 30 years.
Yeah, well, we're trying to test the hypothesis, that being mm-hmm. that Bigfoot exists. Let's just say, okay, Bigfoot exists. Let's find out if it's true. And where better to look than Bluff Creek, which is supposedly the most famous, Bigfoot populated area in the world. And, so far we've had no results that we could call a Bigfoot, but we've had plenty of blob squatches and, bears chewing on the cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah. Even the small animals that were gone, you found.
The what?
Yeah, there was a small, I can't remember what it is, a marmot or something that they wasn't there anymore that you basically confirmed was still around?
Well, the Humboldt Martin is a subspecies that was, genetically distinct from the other martens that are around this area, like to the east and the north. But in this area from, southern Oregon down to my area here in the Willow Creek area, the redwoods and the inland coastal forest, the Doug Fir forest, it still exists, but it was at one time thought to be extinct. And it wasn't until the 96, I think, that somebody found a track, one little trackway, what they thought were marten tracks. And so this wildlife biologist set up a camera and got one picture of a marten running by. And this kind of set off a lot of curiosity with the wildlife biology community here in Humboldt area, Del Norte area. And they were known to be near Bluff Creek. But we were surprised when we put up our cameras at the film site that the marten was actually really pretty common up there. They were running all over the place, at least two of them. And they looked like they were a breeding pair. So it seems that the area that's hidden back in the upper headwaters of Bluff Creek is an area that was once logged and burned and all kinds of other things over the years, but it's been growing back and it's still got a lot of old growth forest down in there. It seems like a great Bigfoot habitat, but it's apparently a good enough habitat for the Humboldt Martin, which is very picky about where it lives. It's part of the reason why it's become so rare. They think there are only about 100 of them left in the state of California, and maybe another 100 up in Oregon. So this creature, it's more rare than Bigfoot would be, if Bigfoot is real.
That's cool.
Got those on our cameras. I like to say, you know, I mean, it shows at least that Bigfoot research can have practical learning results, and it can be useful in the real world, regardless of whether you get Bigfoot on camera with the money shot and all that.
Yeah, exactly. That's very important. But we're about out of time, and I'll tell you what, I'd love to have you back again, Stephen, because we could sit here for hours and talk.
Yeah, well,
because
you should get yourself a 2-hour slot.
I know. We're going to have to do that. Take a note, Thomas. Whenever Stephen comes on, it's got to be a 2-hour show.
Oh, yeah. This has gone by real quick.
I know. It's like,
I'm ready to get on to the next topic,
but we'll definitely have to schedule you back sooner than 3 years, like we did this last time, for sure. So, but hey, you know, keep us posted about the giant salamander investigation. Be interesting to hear. Maybe we can get you back after all that happens, and you can tell us what happened there. So,
well, hopefully, it's really a preliminary investigation, just to sort of look at the area and see if there's any sign of a viable habitat. You know, and we don't expect necessarily to find the giant salamander right away, but there are these old legends, and in a classic cryptozoology way, we at least want to go look and see if there's any possibility for this thing.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear about that. So
who knows? It's fun.
Get you back on after.
You know, why not? Why
so
not?
Thomas,
go look?
Do you have anything else you want to?
Well, I just want to thank Steve for coming on our 28th episode, and I hope I can come down there and do some stuff with you before too long, because the border is still closed because of COVID. And,
enough
years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to
thanks
have
so
you
much, Stephen, for coming back on. And, you know, like I said, I always learn so much from you, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I always enjoy your show. It's one of my favorite ones. I always listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
He sticks to the facts and never deviates from the facts. You need a lot more of that.
Absolutely, guys. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an epic show, and we really appreciate you, our listeners, and give us some feedback on the show if you would do so. You can always reach me at julie.wrench@yahoo.com or go to the Facebook group, Stephen's Coalition of Coalition of Critical Thinking, Bigfoot Thinking?
Yeah, the Coalition for Critical Thinking in Bigfoot Research. And there's two of them. One was made by a troll. So don't go to the 2.0 one. Go to the original. No supporting the trolls, please.
Yes, definitely. And I'll tell you that, your group, I've always had a great time in there. Some of the posts are just hilarious. And you guys know so much about all the backstories and everything that you definitely can't go in there and not learn anything. So that's much appreciated.
We lose a lot of angry newbies, but a lot of the old timers who've already cut their teeth on this whole thing, they tend to stick around. So we've got a good collection of people in there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll be back again next month. And I believe we got Bill Reed on for the July show. So definitely want to stay in tune for that. So thank you so much for listening, guys. And we'll talk to you next month.
See you later.
Agree, Steve.